back to Back to the Past, the Alternate History Podcast. This is Season 3 now, so we're launching Season 3. So before we get into our topic, which is today is going to be, what if the Mexican-American War was won by the Mexican Empire? First, we have a few important announcements to make. So first of all, we have an Instagram. Link will be in the description. Follow it. And second of all, we are launching a platform, per se, a podcast platform where there will be multiple different podcasts of different topics, and it's all going to be on our new website, which will also be in the description, and it's called Kluka, K-L-O-K-A. We base it off the Swedish word for wise, and it sounds nice. I really like it, Kluka. So the website's going to be kluka.org, K-L-O-K-A.org. So I don't think it's going to be live by the time this episode launches, but we'll make a tweet, and on our new Instagram, we'll also make an announcement there that it's live. So just stay tuned and let us know what you guys think of it, because it's going to be, we got plans for multiple different podcasts by different people and different topics to skirt.
Hey guys, Nick here from Back to the Past, the Alternate History Podcast. And unfortunately, due to several complaints we had about Tej, because we just felt like it was better for him if he moved on into a better role that was more suited for him. So he's still working for us here at Back to the Past, the Alternate History Podcast. He's just not going to be recording with us anymore. So I just wanted to let you guys know that.
But anyway, enough bickering. Let's get started now. So the topic is, what if the Mexican Empire won the Mexican-American War? So when the American forces first landed into Mexico, they were just losing men. They were dropping like flies, you might say. And that's because disease and attrition was rampant throughout the United States Army. The biggest reason why they won is because the Mexican commander, the general commander, he wanted to use Napoleonic warlike tactics. So set piece tactics and linear warfare compared to using guerrilla style warfare that they used on the French 20 years later, I believe during the Siege of Veracruz. So if they used somewhat similar tactics to like that, Mexico could have easily won the war, because the United States was, they were diseased, they were having attrition, and they were in foreign lands. Mexican troops, meanwhile, this is their land. They know the land. And that's great for guerrilla warfare, because it allows them to do tactics that kill a few men, run without losing any casualties. They could destroy a few critical infrastructure, run. No casualties, the minimum Mexican casualties, and tremendous blows to American supply lines.
And before we also get into besides that, I think we also commend Winfield Scott for his beautiful strategy combining the Navy and the Army. I'm just going to give a slow cap for him. His strategy was absolutely brilliant. And we also had a ton of war heroes, for example, and I think besides that tactic, like you said, I think one important battle that they would have to win in this scenario would actually be the Battle of Buena Vista. And this is when between the great general of Zachary Taylor, who was actually the 12th president of the United States of America, and he was a general, but he also used to be the former dictator of Mexico, Antonio López de Santa Anna, which is easily one of the most famous Mexican names of all time, and also one of the coolest ones too. Furthermore, I think if the Mexicans were to win that, because they actually had a big number of troops actually than the United States Army did at that battle, and just in general, if they win that too, I think that also saves them. And I think let's get out of the simple how they would win in the military. I think we should talk about the effects of what would happen after that. And I think the immediate peace treaty, I think we could definitely see the moving of the Mexican-American border, for example, because I think in this scenario we see the America lose a couple states, actually, maybe up to Louisiana, because the Mexicans actually really wanted Louisiana, and they're only a state away. They're going to take Texas back, of course. I think they could also take maybe Oregon as well, even though I was kind of debated during the time, but it was not really. But that's just me, though.
See, I don't think they would take Louisiana, because I think they would just keep their territory, because Mexico actually had a tremendous amount of territories. They had Nevada, they had California, they had Arizona, they had New Mexico. And we'll discover later in time, in our timeline, that those places are just loaded with gold. And that's just going to help the Mexican economy. So the Texas annexation could definitely happen. But I don't know if Mexico would take Texas, because they've already had experience with revolts there first. And I don't think they really want to deal with revolts again, because It was a bit crippling and embarrassing for the Mexicans. Summary, I don't think they're going to take any more land, except potentially Texas. And the only reason they'd, I don't know if they take it because of the amount of revolts they would face on it.
See, I absolutely disagree with you on that because of the fact that Mexico was actually kind of a, it was known at the time that Mexico was ambitious for Louisiana. And this fight wasn't like a kind of as one-sided as we see it now. It was actually more of a fair fight in terms of the fact that the Mexicans might have had more numbers, but the Americans had better tactics. And in this case, a scenario with if the better numbers were to win because of better tactics, I think that Mexico would take full advantage of it. And I get because of the fact that, oh yeah, there was a lot of rebellions going on and it was kind of uncertain. I still think because of the fact that Mexico won the war, I'm pretty sure they would still want something out of it. And you also have to keep in mind, America declared war on Mexico. It wasn't like Mexico declared war on America. It was a defensive war. And so I think in the long run, I think Mexico would be able to take control of it because I think – because besides for Texas and then John C. Fremont in California, I think we – that upper area wasn't really populated by anybody. It was mainly not populated by anybody. Even northern Mexico wasn't really populated until I believe in the last century or so.
I mean, I'm a bit – I don't know. I don't think that Mexico would push for Louisiana. I mean, sure, it's pretty close, but – point is, Mexico is definitely going to take some land, I feel like maybe, or they're going to at least demand monetary reparations, because that's all during the 19th century and the early 20th century, monetary reparations are also a big thing. War reparations, you know, paying like 40% of your economic GDP, for example, to Mexico, they could have easily done that. So war reparations are a big thing. But now I think let's just talk about the future. So let's just say, you know, point is Mexico won the war, so now the United States is essentially blocked from the Southwest, probably in modern times, the 21st century, home to Silicon Valley, and back then, loads of gold mines, loads of natural resources, and even now, California, loaded with oil. Even Texas, if Mexico grabs Texas, there's essentially a lot less oil for the United States. Now it's mainly just in the Northeast, like Pennsylvania. But that Pennsylvanian oil reserves are nowhere near as tremendous as California or Texas. So how, especially because oil with Rockefeller, he started getting into oil actually by the end of the 19th century. So it's not even we get to like the mid 20th century that oil becomes important. Oil starts getting important in the late 19th century, around the 1870s and 1880s. So how do you think that this limit, like let's say limit on natural resources, especially oil, is going to be on the United States?
So I think it's definitely going to be much more crippling, for example. And as you mentioned before, I'm not going to get into the whole entire robber barons because it has really nothing to do with the scenario except with Rockefeller. Getting onwards with my prediction, I think that America industrially would be much more crippled in this scenario because of the fact that, especially later on, and that since there's not as much, you know, oil – there's not much oil to go around. I think it's very important to note that. We also have to look how would it affect modern day as well? Because as you know, America is a very big fan of oil, as a lot of people like to joke about. But now I don't know how that would affect our policy surrounding oil nowadays. I think that's more interesting. But getting back on point to more recent time periods, how does that change the Civil War, for example? Because you're losing several Union – you're using a couple of Union states in this scenario, which would be Nevada, Utah, California. And you're also losing a couple of Confederate states, Texas. Texas, was, I'm pretty sure, was the last one to surrender in 1865. Not – I think it was 1866. It was either or. It was the last one to surrender, though, I know. You also had the Confederate territory of New Mexico and Sequoia, I believe. If not, it was just called Indian Territory. But I think we also have to look at the fact that the Civil War would definitely be changed as well. And I don't know how to – I don't think anything would really change from that except Texas would be lost and that really there's not a lot of fighting on the western frontier, talking about California, between California and Arizona or even in Texas as well till later parts of the war. So I think the American Civil War, which would be still affected, would go the same way. And we could also look at Cinco de Mayo, for example, when the French decided to invade Mexico. And when the French decided to invade Mexico, they failed, and that was due to the taxes, like you said about what they did, like you mentioned before. So I think in that scenario, we also have to look at the French I look at a potential French Mexico not even having a chance of working at all. Instead, I think we could potentially see France trying to expand their influence somewhere else. Perhaps maybe they do recognize the CSA in this scenario, but I don't think that would happen too much. I think that would be more of a British thing to do, recognize the CSA, since the cotton didn't come in from India and Egypt until around, I believe, the 1880s, if I'm exact. But I don't know. Don't quote me on that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think really France is going to get involved in Mexico, because they see that Mexico defeat. Like, I mean, there's definitely racism during this time period. So, like, Mexico, the French are going to say, oh, wow, look at the Mexicans. They beat this Anglo nation, right? So they're going to say, oh, wow, they're pretty strong, right? I think that actually could help, like, the European powers look at the Mexican people in a good way, too, actually, the victory. But that's not my point. My point is, I know you mentioned oil briefly, but I wanted to go into more detail because I think, especially during the 20th century, I think America's growth is just crippled. Because during the 19th century, they mainly used oil for just lubrication in Greece. But the 20th century, they learned more processing methods to get gasoline, for example, or plastics. And plastics have revolutionized the world in both good and bad ways, obviously. Because it's cheaper to build stuff now, and obviously there's more pollution, but plastics have changed the world. You cannot deny that. So with this lack of oil, the United States now has to import more oil from Mexico, and then in the 20th century, they also have to import more from the Middle East. And part of the reason that the United States actually did more domestic drilling is because they wanted to obviously be self-reliant. I mean, who wouldn't be? Like, would you rather import from the Middle East, or you have your own oil reserves in your own backyard? You'd rather as well drill those because it's for your economy. So I think the United States could actually potentially seek an alternative to oil much quicker, or maybe not even renewable energy, but just spend more money on oil substitutes or synthesizing oil, because the United States does not need to spend money on that because they have the oil reserves. But now, without the oil reserves, and if the United States wants to grow in the same way as they did in our time under the 20th century with their global influence and their oil requirements, they're going to need to find a way to get that oil. And I don't think they're going to want to have their entire oil pipeline coming from the Middle East. They're going to want to have multiple sources.
Well, you covered oil very well. I'm not really into that whole entire industry. But specifically mentioning with race relations, for example, I think you're 100% on the dot that, for example, Hispanics will be viewed in a better light. And I'm talking about not just Hispanics of Mexico. I think just Hispanics in general would be viewed as more quote-unquote equal in this scenario because of the fact that they're defeating what's considered to be a white nation, like a literal white nation, like an Anglo-Saxon race nation. So yeah, I think you're on the dot though. And thank you guys so much for watching Season 3, Episode 1 of Back to the Past, the Alternate History Podcast. It's been fun getting back into this, and we were debating actually what we should be recording for our first episode. If you guys want to see more than just Back to the Past, the Alternate History Podcast, we've been expanding our brand. For example, we have Kluka, our new podcast hub, which will soon be filling out with a lot more podcasts than just this. And it's spelled Kloka. That's right, Kloka. And you can also check out our Instagram, which will be linked down in the description. Thank you and have a great day.